I think that study was responsible for convincing Secretary Lewinsky that he should go to bat to get Mr. Bush to overrule the bureaucracy, OMB in particular, and the Center for Disease Control, and to approve four specific health effects for compensation in those veterans in Vietnam veterans. For the first time beginning in the Bush administration, after 20 years of chicanery, the government decided to pay veterans or their families, Vietnam veterans who had deceased from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, soft tissue sarcoma, peripheral neuropathy, and chloracne. There are another 24 diseases that have yet to be added. And if I live, we'll get those done. Yeah.
And if you live,
we'll get them done.
You're going to fight for that. Mm-hmm. There's people out there who are suffering just as equally.
That's right.
That's strange that they allow certain diseases.
The non-Hodgkin's occurs so frequently in the human animal that excesses above that frequency are easier to detect. And in the so-called selected cancer study that the Centers for Disease Control did of six forms of cancer, in spite of the efforts that they went to dilute the exposed group by selecting veterans who had not been exposed to Agent Orange, the excess of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was so great that it stood out even with that dilution, and therefore that was easy to get approved. Soft tissue sarcoma, we managed to get a recommendation out of this now canceled Committee on Environmental Hazards after they had for years looked the other way by my embarrassing them into looking at studies they had not looked at and into doing so-called meta-analysis, putting together the results of several studies. And then finally we got a recommendation on peripheral neuropathy. Chloracne was easy. Everybody agreed that that was...
What is chloracne?
It's a horrible skin affliction that can last for years and years or forever. And in chemical companies, the workers frequently get it from exposure to dioxin. For years, this is probably a diversion from what you want to cover, but for years, the chemical companies had done fraudulent studies of the chemical company workers. And in a famous court case in St. Louis, Monsanto was finally found liable for, I think it was a $19 million liability for having, in their studies, had their company, Dr. Hacks, take people who had been exposed and put them in the unexposed group, take people who died of cancer out of the exposed group, so that they got a balance between the control group and the exposed group, no increase in cancers.
And those
were called the reference studies for years. And when Swedish doctors began, Ericsson and Hardell began to come up with studies that showed in Sweden excess cases of cancer, they were poo-pooed because our scientists were all saying, here are the basic reference studies done by good old American chemical companies. That's now been proven to be fraudulent, and subsequently, Dr. Marilyn Fingerhut, working for the government agency NIOSH, in spite of all kinds of pressures, was able to produce a study of 5,172 chemical workers in 12 chemical companies, including Monsanto's, that show that there is an elevation of 15%, statistically significant, in all forms of cancer among those workers. And if you limit the examination to the 1,520 of them who have had 20 years or more latency and a year of exposure, the increase in all forms of cancer is 47%. So, you know, now it's just almost unarguable that there is a correlation, yet we still can't get a government decision to authorize all these other forms of cancer.
How deep are you into the cynical spectrum? In other words, how do you keep from being just take dragged down by what you're discovering in terms of the human ability to deny and cheat?
I don't feel bitter because I consider, like Winston Churchill, that our form of government is the worst ever invented except for all the others that have been tried. And I've seen us do terrible things. The Japanese, with whom I went to high school, put away good, loyal, patriotic American citizens, put away like criminals during World War II, and taking half a century to admit our error. The atomic tests on the desert, with only very recently an admission that we exposed those people to cancer. The LSD tests that were done by the Army on soldiers without telling them they were being tested or what they were being given went, 15 years before it was admitted to. The government does all kinds of things that are wrong, and it takes some nut like me out organizing the raw, naked power of public opinion to bring them right. And, you know, every once in a while you get a public servant like Admiral Jim Watkins who can do it from the inside.
So you feel positive about the possibilities, although you're not untutored as to the dangers.
Right, right.
How positive?
I believe in time, for example, in the case of dioxin, that we will get all of the health effects authorized for compensation. I believe that the National Academy of Sciences study, which is supposed to report out in June of this year, will give us some big help on that. The problem that's going to take longer is that dioxin is still being made in this country as a byproduct of paper and pulp mill companies poured into our rivers. It's another one of the ingredients of Agent Orange. 2,4-D is being sold as a pesticide. National Cancer Institute studies show that the people who use that pesticide on their lawns have, and who have pets, have canine testicular cancer twice as many times as people who don't use it. The same pesticide, when examined in Kansas farmers, shows that they have from 6 to 8 times more non-Hodgkin's lymphoma if they've used 2,4-D. And it's almost a magnificent correlation. The farmers who went for a week without changing, without washing their clothes, just put the same clothes on every day to go out in the fields, had 8 times as many non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Those who washed their clothes every night had a lesser number, but still greater. Those who wore protective clothing had normal rates, and so on. So it's a, you know, it's just clear as hell that it's a poisonous substance, but we still sell it.
Is it written on the labels? That stuff is in there?
That, I think, is done, yes.
2,4-D?
Yeah.
Because, like, I have fire ant hills for the first time in my life moving to Texas, and the stuff that you put on it smells so strong.
Yeah, I would read the labels carefully.
For dioxin or for
2,4-D? For 2,4-D.
Okay,
2,4-D on its own right is carcinogenic.
I think you've been very good for one whole hour. Would you like to take a 10-minute break and
I'm fine.
Okay. Because interviews like this, you know when you're starting to wear down. And I'd rather come back when you start getting tired or when you feel like I got to do something.
Well, we run another 10 or 15 minutes, I've got to do a board telephone conference.
Tell me the names of the people who you think we will probably, whose stories we will get into as we tell the story of this search for truth about radiation, besides Verrobio.
Dr. Day, you certainly would want to talk to.
And he's a character we could build. I mean, Yeah. The person up there in Washington, that strange,
that's
wonderful
right.
little environment.
Yeah, a very kind of tough, untactful, forceful, and brilliant scientist. Again, to revert to Agent Orange, he was one of the few that was willing to go on the line and be quoted as to how disreputable the procedures of this Committee on Environmental Hazards were.
Which put him at some risk.
Yeah, because it hazards his research grants from the government. So he's a good one.
Tell me a little bit about his place there.
He's the president and executive director of Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center.
And they?
They deal with all kinds of cancer, and the Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Don Thomas, is the granddaddy of the marrow transplant part of it, who ran that part of the institution. Dr. John Hansen has now replaced Don Thomas, who's kind of an elder statesman, and the Nobel Prize has given him so many lecture requirements that he's all around the country.
Is he into radiation at all, too? Or
because you see, the two things they do for you to get you ready for a transplant is to massively radiate you and massively give you chemotherapy, hopefully to kill every last cancer cell and incidentally, therefore, kill every piece of marrow in your body. And then you get a new marrow transplant from a donor that rejuvenates your immune system. So they know the effects of very high levels of radiation and are experts in it. I think it'd be worthwhile to talk to Dr. Don Thomas and the fellow who replaced him, Dr. John Hansen, both of whom are directors of the NMDP. Captain Bob Hartzman, who was another one of our directors and the Navy doctor, he's good on everything in this field.
And he's in D.C.
Right.
An active military
right.
man. So I'd find him where?
At the Bethesda Naval Hospital, he's got an office. Our national marrow donor program gets monies from two sources. Congress puts some in the money that goes to HHS, and that gets distributed to us and supervised by the National Heart, Lung, Blood Institute, NHLBI, Dr. Claude Lafont. And then another bunch of money, somewhat larger, comes to us through a Navy appropriation, and Bob Hartzman is the Pope who dispenses that to us. So he's an ex officio director of our board.
What kind of personality does he have?
He's a very scholarly, intellectual guy. Also surprisingly humble for such a brilliant man. He's less forceful and focused in his comments than Bob Day, but better than most scientists in communicating with the layman.
And an insider who's still willing to speak to the government on its issues?
That's right. He was willing to be quoted in that Agent Orange study, even though he was on active duty.
Others in the Soviet Union, former?
I guess you should talk to Nikita to get from him who the other players are. Now, it would be useful to talk also to those two representatives, one from the Belarus and one from the Ukraine. They both seem to be pretty heads-up guys. And they have probably now more familiarity with the situation in their individual companies, although Vorobyov, when he was Minister of Health for the Soviet Union, until the breakup, had jurisdiction over all three countries medically.
That was a very short time.
Yeah.
He lived right through this.
That's right.
Spastic.
That's right.
Anybody in Israel?
There's a doctor, Epstein, who's here. Very good. Did you hear his lecture this morning?
Yeah.
That was a very fascinating one. And then another doctor who was with us in Bryansk, Dr. Kark. I think it's K-A-R-K.
He's from Bryansk.
No, from Israel. But he went to Bryansk with us.
That trip to Bryansk, is it documented at all so I could relive it?
There is a report. You know, we kind of became a band of brothers, although those of us that went together, because the train trip down there was one of the worst nightmares any of us had ever had. the train was dirty and jerky, and there was the Soviet government people still treat customers like dirt. They're the government, and you're the people to be obey. And so the attendants who were supposed to be looking out for the people in the train spent the whole night singing and carousing, so he had difficulty sleeping. The toilet was one of these open air things to the ground, so that every time anyone took a pee or a crap, the stuff shot up all over the floor. People walked in their bare feet. It was just hideous, you know. It was so bad that we all volunteered to come back by bus, a 5 or 6 hour trip, and therefore the bus had to stop every couple of hours to let people disperse in among the trees, women in one direction and men in the other, to excrete. And
that was a mission to what?
Well, it was the initial effort. At that time, Belarus and Ukraine hadn't joined us, to bring the Russian scientists to the table. Vorobyov felt that if we had our first meeting there, he could persuade a lot of the scientists in Russia to show up, and they did. I think there were 50 or 60 of them. And it was kind of the germination of the thing.
Okay. And it's the predecessor to this meeting.
Yeah.
Do you see already the last 3 days some signs that you're making a breakthrough, that you're working?
Yeah. Did you sit in on yesterday's session? If you noticed at the beginning, there were kind of some critical remarks.
What are you doing this for?
And by the end, BB. The fellow from the World Health Organization spoke up, saying he now understood and supported it. Bibi, I think, doesn't yet. But
Bibi's problem.
Well, you know, the government agencies are all reluctant to see a private group do anything. So turf battle.
Yeah. I sensed a lot of turf battles. Mm-hmm. And then nationalistic squabbling could get us in the Russian area.
That's right. Vorobyov is very sensitive to the fact that he's got to play down his role. We haven't touted him as co-chairman, which he is, because of Belarus and Ukraine.
He had a very defensive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been a good interview. Thank you.
All right.
I will.